soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng. Blend with ours our voices in the triumph song. Glory, laud, and honor unto Christ the King. Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
All right, excellent singing, everybody. Brother Paul, would you please open us up in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here today to honor you. Thank you so much for those who came. Let us pray for those that are traveling. Let's just honor you and raise our voices. Praise of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, if you want to go ahead and take your hymnals, we're going to turn to page 7. It's page number 327, Higher Ground. Page number 327, Higher Ground. All right, we'll sing it out on the first.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up. By faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears disappear.
My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost heights and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. All right, excellent singing, everybody. It's time we will have our announcements.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. The bulletins are being handed out. A little technical difficulty. If you didn't get one, we'll make sure we have a few in after the service if you need one. But the verse of the week is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. That is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. All right. Service times are at 10:30 a.m. in the morning and 3:30 p.m. in the afternoon. We have soul winning in between the services at 1 p.m. today and also at 10:30 on Saturdays. And yesterday, I believe we had two salvations. Amen. So that's good. We had a little bit of a dry spell, but hey, going out, we will soul win or soul warn. And hey, and every now and then we reap a harvest for the Lord. So that brings us to 73 for the year so far. Attendance is down below. Upcoming event, just for all those that know, and thank you so much to have the visitors come in. I almost wish you came next week, because next week is our church Silverwood trip. It's kind of a long weekend. Pastor Thompson is coming in on Friday to do a special service on Friday evening. And then the whole church goes to Silverwood on Saturday. Hopefully you've RSVP'd if you are planning to go with Brother Remy, and they've made arrangements for all that. And also we're having Brother David Ackerley come and preach both services next Sunday. So I'm excited to hear him preach. I'm not sure I've met him, so I'm just excited to see a traveling brother. That's exciting. So we have a full weekend next weekend for those that wish to come and join us. And for those that don't know, the Thompsons, the local Thompsons, Little Thompson, if you will, though he's bigger than me. They're traveling to Seattle to be a support to that church. He's preaching and supporting that branch, is where both Brother Remy and Kylie are currently. So just keep them in prayers, because even though it's a good, fun-filled trip, hey, traveling's always, you know, worrisome. So just keep them in prayers. So next week, we have a bunch of activities. So glad to see so many people here today. As a reminder to all the kids, I'll task my wife, because I know Miss Kylie is not here today. If you memorize John 3:16, can say it word for word, I will find candy somehow so we can do that. Because I know if kids have been playing for this and all of a sudden that was taken from them, that's not what we're trying to encourage. We want you to encourage getting the word of the Lord in you and memorizing it even at an early age. So if anyone needs or wants to do that, we will make sure you're taken care of. All right. If you have any other prayer requests or any other activities you think coming up, please just let me know after the service and we'll make sure we get it into the bulletin. But with that, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for so many people gathering today, this morning. And Lord, it says that we
right, if you want to go ahead and take your Bibles, we're going to turn to Psalm number 11. That's Psalm number 11. That's Psalm number 11. In the Lord put I my trust. Psalm number 11. All right, and we'll sing it out on the first. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul? Flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth upon the wicked. He shall rain snares, fire and brimstone and horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. In the Lord put I my trust. All right, excellent singing, everybody. But the apology, please pray for the offering.
Holy Father, thank you so much for all that we have. And Lord, let us never think of the smallness of who we are, because Lord, little is much when you are in it. And we always have faith in the work that you're doing in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Sure Foundation Baptist Church. If you could go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and as everyone knows, our custom is that we read the entire chapter before the preaching. Philippians chapter 4, the Bible reads, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Yodius and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. If there be any virtue,
And if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Brother Daniel, could you please pray for the preaching?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you all for this day. Thank you for this church. I pray God that you bless the service, bless the calls, help us, God, to be ready. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So the title of my sermon is, In a Time Like This. In a Time Like This. Now, I don't know in your personal life. I know in my personal life I've had many kind of hardships come up. Something's kind of devastating to my grandchild, to my personal life, to that. Hey, within kind of this movement, if you knew, there was a great tragedy that happened in the last week where, you know, a young married couple lost that relationship and ended suddenly without excuse. Nationally, there's great things happening, that things are happening, and it's destroying. People's worlds feel like they're crumbling. They don't know what the future is like. And some people would say, how could you do anything? How could you have hope in a time like this? And let me tell you, where I got the sermon was actually because multiple people have told me, looking at me, one, they're like, oh, you're kind of old. And two, they're like, are you really going to bring a child into a time like this? A time like this. I mean, with chaos and rumors of war, and I mean, you don't even know, political chaos, strife, I mean, everything's looking bad. It seems like the moral decay of the world is just happening. In a time like this, you're going to bring a child. And here's the thing is, many of the times, and I know, and many people who have ever heard me preach, I will hit hard and perhaps possibly negative. And I think the Bible has a lot of negative things. Don't do this. Don't do this. And a lot of times how I motivate myself is I see that other people have gone through worse than me. And I think Paul, even other times, he says, I have spent time in the depth. He's been thrown overseas. He's been beaten. He's been that. But you know what? Sometimes, you know what we need to do to move on and to see hope in the future is to realize the good things we have right now. So even though it takes in a time like this, people, you should put that to shame me of what I'm choosing to do with my future. I'm actually would turn around and be like, dude, in a time like this, you're not having kids. In a time like this, you're not excited for the future. In a time like this, you don't want, man, I just want to bring everyone. I wish everyone in all time could experience right now. So that's the thing. You're like, Paul, are you actually, as the most negative person here, going to do a positive sermon? This is my attempt as a positive sermon, so I hope it comes off as such. Oh. And I had you read, or I had read to you, Philippians 4, starting in verse 4. What does it say? Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Do we not think of the good that we have? Do we not see the blessings that we have? And let me tell you this, as a Christian, you should always have, as a saved person, know that in the end, you have heaven to always go through. So it doesn't matter the pains and sufferings we may have in this world. We shouldn't be bogged down by the depressions in this world because, hey, guess what? If you live in the world, you are hopeless. It is meaningless. It is goalless. In the end, fire will take away any type of human achievement. It will never exist for all time. That can be dread. Don't let the world drag you down with it. But let me tell you this. Even though we are not of this world, do we live within the world?
Yeah.
We do. But let me tell you this. It's not always all negative. And it says in verse 5, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. All it's saying is, hey, when you're going through life, don't be pulled so much one way or the other. Be moderate in all things, and the Lord can guide you. Be careful for nothing, but in everything be in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know what you're giving thanks for? The good in your life, the good that you have. This is how we can rejoice and be rejoicing continuously. Let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Jesus Christ. Do you understand? If you are saved and you have the Holy Ghost within you, you have that indwelling of our promised possession that will come in the time. The world is small. It is a vapor here tomorrow. Tomorrow we shall see our glory. But here's the thing. You are not promised a life of ease, but I want by the end of this to know there is ease within your life. There is blessings to be born right now, in this time, in this life, right now. And that is a glory and a blessing to you. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if they be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. Do you know why we are so down? And here's the thing is, we have so much wealth, so much technology, so much health, so much monetary and possessions thrown upon us. We are the grumpiest generation that has ever lived. And here's the thing is, you don't like this term, whatever it is. We are connected to our phones, and you know what sells? Happiness does not sell. Stress, drama, and fear is what grabs us because it grabs us personally, and this is our character. And let me tell you, are there things to be fearful in that we're in this world? Yes, there are. Are there things that should be stressed about, worried about? Yes. But do you understand that there are also blessings? And the Lord says, hey, you want to rejoice and rejoice and know the peace that surpasses all understanding? Think upon the good things. I am not telling you to be ignorant of this world, but what I am telling you is sometimes you have to stop and refresh your mind to what you have before you. We can always find ways to be negative. That's a special gift we all have. We can find what's wrong all the time. But can you also find what is good within your life and where you are right now? These things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and God of peace shall be with you. It is saying, you know what? You want to have peace that surpasses all understanding in this world right now? Think upon what is pure, what is good, what is a blessing, and you meditate on that. You recount it. You see what's virtuous in your life, and you that is what you put your mind and you're focused on. And let me tell you this. Paul says, that is what I've tried to do for you. I hope that's what you've received. I hope that's what you learned. And I hope that's what you give to other believers. That is the purpose of this sermon. That is what I mean. In Proverbs 17:22, it says, a merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. There's a big saying that most of life, it's about 20% what happens to you and 80% how you take it. And here's the thing is, some people take it kind of like Eastern Chinese thought, being like, well, our mind over matter. But there is a lot of truth to that, because things are going to happen in your life, and it's crazy. The people that can withstand it, go through, and be a blessing to others, somehow they view what happens to them a little bit different than those that literally have what most people would see as a minor inconvenience, and it destroys them. Their whole day collapses. Because if you're focused on what's negative and failing and no hope and all future, and then a little thing happens, it's too much for you. And hey, we've all been overwhelmed. We've all been taken down. We've all had our collapses, you know, mentally, physically, and that. And then you have to rebuild from nothing. But if we focus on what's good and pure and virtuous and focus on that, we don't have to reach the edge that when things happen, we aren't there to collapse. So if I could say anything today, my thing is to tell you why it's a blessing right now to be, right now to, if you are here in Spokane listening to my voice, there are blessings upon blessings that most generations would have killed to have. And yet we don't care. We look past it. We don't give thanks for it. So today, the whole sermon is just kind of a list of reflect. And hey, if not all of these hit on you, but something I hope I mentioned today, you can go, Lord, I am thankful I have this. And Lord, what a blessing.
Amen.
What a grace. What a virtue that I get to experience this, that perhaps 99% of all people that have come before me, from Adam and Eve until the end, they probably didn't get to experience these blessings. So here's the thing is, the world is hopeless. And if you follow what they're interested in, we can be dragged down. And hey, I am not telling, if you've heard me preach before, you know I find things problematic. You know I can complain. And you know I tail towards probably the more pessimistic or melancholy mood. That is who I naturally am. But the thing is, we must have everything in moderation. We must refresh ourselves to think of the good. And if we have our mind set in virtue, we can not just help ourselves through troublous times, we can help others. And that is what Christians should be in a light in this world.
Yeah.
So what am I talking about? What do you mean? It's like, because people ask me, like, you're going to bring up a kid at a time like this, as the world is now? And I've been told that. I don't know if anyone else has been told that, but I have. You know?
Yeah.
But hey, let me just tell you this. Hey, the Bible also says, like, if you don't have hope in God, eat, drink, and tomorrow, for tomorrow you die. Why? It's been a blessing from time immemorial. It's a human thing that good food and good drink can bring joy to your life. Hey, in Genesis 9:3, it says, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, and even the green herbs have I given you all things. Now, here's the thing is, from time immemorial, we've been allowed to eat whatever we want, like whatever sustains you. If that's what floats your boat, great. It's okay for you. But here's the thing is, even though we've had permission to do that, I'm going to ask you, if you look at this, and I hope you can see this, about as big as I can print with reasonableness of my budget. This is from, and I'm just going to explain this photo because I'm going to refer to it multiple times. 100 years ago, we were building a great world wonder that's still a great wonder called the Hoover Dam. We were going through the Great Depression, and they're building this in the middle of the desert, in the middle of Arizona. There are no jobs. People pick up their family to move into the middle of the desert to work 12 to 14, maybe 16 hours a day in the heat and drought so their family can live in a tent. And people flocked by the thousands to have this opportunity.
Yeah.
Now, I'm talking about food and drink. Do you believe this family, and I'm sorry, I keep hitting my mic, I'll move it over here. Do you believe this family had the opportunity of you going down to Safeway?
No.
Let's talk about our food options. I should have asked, but I'm going to speak to my wife for a minute. She likes raspberries in the middle of winter. Actually, she doesn't care what the weather is outside. She just likes berries. Now, many of you go, oh, you know, they're not in season. They're not the best they could be. Do you know most people that live in this climate in North has probably never experienced blueberries, raspberries? Like, we had strawberries here. We did have raspberries, so let me think of other fruit. How about mangoes? How about jackfruit? How about cantaloupes? How about melons? These things didn't exist here. Do you think if you lived in Spokane 100 years ago that you even had the opportunity in your lifetime to experience the things we walk by and do not care at all what's in that farmer's market? Or not even, no, sorry, farmer's market's an elevated thing. How about Safeway? Because Safeway is literally such a luxury. And I'm going to tell you this. I'll try not to go too many rabbit trails. Do you understand that the Soviet Union collapsed because their leadership came to an American supermarket in 1990? You say that's crazy. They went to a supermarket in America and saw what our peasants got, and they said, we have completely failed and lost.
I don't think that's taught anymore, but that's a true story. Gorbachev saw an American supermarket and went, capitalism has won, we have failed our people, and it collapsed. But you're like, but they don't have the apples I like. Why don't they have Cosmic Crisp right now? It's only Golden Delicious and Honey Crisp. Right? We can be so picky. We're like, I want the most exotic, limited, specific apple, and oh, it only comes like 9 times a year. Ugh.
Why they have the organic section.
Let me tell you about food. Okay? Do they look like they have a freezer? Where you're like, well, it's a good deal right now. I think I'll buy, and maybe in a few months I'll eat it. Do they have a fridge? If this lady got lucky enough to get fresh anything, she's either going to preserve it immediately, like in vinegar, salt, or you're going to have to eat it immediately because it's going to rot. And let me tell you this. I'm not using this example because it was an extreme. I'm just saying because this was my grandparents' generation. Yes, my grandparents and my parents had late children just like I am. So we kind of, maybe a little further. Maybe it's your great-grandparents. But my grandparents lived through this. And you know what? This is what opportunity and thankfulness look like to my grandparents. Because they got work. And that got them to feed. Let me tell you, as despite as they're like, they're in a tent and all this, I'm just going to use this standard that this woman who did not probably have the health care we have down the street is obviously healthy enough to have many children. So she's getting what she needs. And they're obviously living life. And understand, how did the patriarchs of the Bible live? In a tent. This is normal. If you want to look at history, this is what normal is. This is stuff that royalty themselves 100 years ago could not possibly have. To have ice cream at any time was not an option. So if you can walk away today and wonder why, like, let me explain food in America. This is the quickest way to explain the blessings that we should be thankful about. What is listed as the greatest problem or health concern with who is considered poor in America?
Obesity.
We have such a plethora of food that our generation, I'm just using words that people, the peasantry are dying because they're eating too much. You live in a special time. I don't think you have to read many books to learn that, you know, obesity was not what was wiping people out 400 years ago. Royalty was viewed as royalty because they're the only ones that could put weight on. So if nothing else, how about just the quantity? How about the quality and how about the plethora of food? You're like, but you don't understand. There was more vitamins. It was more natural and all this. Hey, you have that option that anything the person in the tent 100 years lived ago, you have opportunity to have. So if you want to go back, and I learned this word from, you know, Brother Thompson here. I never heard it before. Crunchy lifestyle. You want to be super healthy and natural? I had to look that up. I didn't know what that meant. But you can. And let me tell you this. Why a lot of people don't is, hey, you think that the lady in the tent, do you think she was like, ugh, my husband better give me more 30-minute options to cook food?
Oh, God.
Do you think the microwave helped her get stuff done? I am going to go on a limb and say a great amount of her time was managing that household. Clothing and feeding all those children, plus the few hours a day that the husband came home, because they worked 7 days a week on this project. It was a mega project. It was out there. I think they had Christmas and one other day off guaranteed. And other than that, you better be dying from a sickness or you get fired, because thousands of people fled to live like this. This was opportunity 1,000 years ago. I'm sorry, 100 years ago. I'm old, I ain't that old. Okay, so I just, hey, maybe be thankful. Now here's the thing is, it also says Isaiah 12 and verse 3, it says, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw waters out of the wells of salvation." The Bible uses metaphors that everyone throughout time should realize. But here's the thing is, if you're not living in the desert, not drinking from the well, maybe this misses you. Salvation is so sweet and refreshing to your very being. It is like you taking pure water and drinking that. And for those that have gone out and worked or suffered, or hey, you were just sunbathing for so long, you're like, whew, I need some water. That is a refreshing moment within your life. And that's how they refer to salvation. Now, let me tell you this. If food, just the abundance that we have, how about water? Because here's the thing, I won't even go back. Now, I'm sure the water that they got probably was not, you know, the high purified, you know, a perfect pH balance or whatever you get from a bottle from the store now. But let's not go 100 years ago. How about when I was in Afghanistan a few years ago? This was a normal sight throughout Kabul. Because, you know, running water is not a common thing in many countries now. And 100 years ago, it absolutely was not. In America, now my mother, and I grant you, she had me late, so this might blow your mind. She remembers when they built the water closet in her house in high school. They did not have a working toilet until she was in high school. They had an outhouse. Now, drinkable water, families spend many hours of their day lining up to where there are a few well pumps that are allowed for people to go. And this is what, not every day, that's why they have so many buckets, but at least once a week, if not more, they had to go down and spend their life just to get an essential to live. But Spokane water tastes funky, so, I mean, I don't really like the tap. Like, we are so blessed in America that we forget what not being blessed is like. And I'm not using these examples like, well, 1,000 years ago during a famine. How about just common life? Hey, if we want to think back to the pioneer times and, you know, manifest destiny, do you think they just had the freshest bottled water all the time? One of the number one killers in American history was called dysentery because water is dirty. And I won't go through all that, but I'm just saying a lot of the diseases that wiped out people through all times was around water issues. And now we're just like, my pH balance, some days I need high pH balance, so I go with, you know, pH water, and sometimes I need low, so I just, it balances me. And then that's you, God bless you, not a sin. You do what you want, but can you at least take a moment and be like, God, thank you, I have this option. Thank you that I don't have to drink water that literally tastes like the animal I pulled out of it because somebody, it fell in and died and I wanted to clean my water, but I can't die from not drinking water. I will die if I don't drink it, so I still got to drink it. Right. Most of you would be disgusted if you saw someone, and please don't go down the Spokane River, there are other issues, and just drink straight from the water. But do you understand from Adam to now, that's the common thing. Open water, however it is, straight to mouth. Most of us are like, ugh. Be thankful. Give God praise that you're born in a time like this, that clean water and food is literally so abundant that you can be choosy at the wherever you are in life. Be thankful. How about housing? I'm going to bring this up, and this one photo. Here's the thing. If you can't see, they're smiling. I know most people who look at this photo are just like, ugh. This is probably the first time in years the husband's working. They're feeling, they have hope. They're looking forward. The family's going, maybe she can have a few more. Well, don't you have enough? That's a modern idea. Yeah. America, when it was first founded, was an average 14 children per family. Average. That's the normal. People had more, they had less. 14. She's behind. But here's the thing. If you thought this was bad, do you know how they lived in New York? Like it was the biggest city. It was a world wonder. About 200 to 300 square feet for a family. Most of us be like, well, that's a really small condo. I guess I can live there with my cat. No. That's what bunk beds and the parents got the bottom, there's no such thing as privacy. This is the land of opportunity and freedom during the time that we were known through the world to be such. And you think you're 600, 8 foot, 100 foot apart, like, man, I don't know if anyone's ever lived in such small thing. Like, and then we have things that I think are like witchcraft, like AC. I mean, the workers of AC, like, I'm just joking with you. But think for a minute. How many of you experienced every 100 degree day inside your house this year? Hey, one out of how many? Because I know in my house, if it gets above 72, I'm like, well, goodbye global cooling. I'm jacking this thing up because we have the power to control the environment. And I don't know if you know this. Outside of having literal servants with fans doing this, for 12 hours, there was no such thing for royalty. You could be the most powerful, wealthy person in the world that could not even imagine the simple creature comforts that you have. And here's the thing is, I have always had, like, because I hate the heat so much, it's a villain to me. Sometimes I would not pay for heat because I'll put on a sweater, but I will tell you during every summer, I paid for AC. If that meant I had less quality food, I paid for AC. But I had that choice. Why? Because we live in a time that is insane. Now, I just heard, hey, sometimes, hey, we still got to clean. We still got to maintain. We still have to do that. And sometimes, you know, compared to everyone else, we feel like we're a little bit lower. But hey, if you compare it to just the normal 100 years ago, what people were happy for, how are you doing? And you're like, well, you know, I'm having to rent. I'm not going to invest. I don't know what to pass down. Hey, I understand that concern, but do you think they own this land? Think they're setting up a homestead that, you know, is passed down to generations now? No, as soon as Hoover dammed it, this whole thing called Hoover Civy collapsed, minus like 200 people that maintained the dam. It was, I think, I'm going to get this number wrong. I should look this up as I'm using an example, but I think 12,000 to 25,000 workers came to the middle of the desert to work on this project. Yeah. And they were happy. And like I said, you missed 2 days in a row, you were fired because there were people in line waiting to take your job. Yeah. To live like this. And do you know, they lost like 1,000 people through the years just from heat exhaust, from sickness, through disease, going through the camp. And as soon as they're dead, people are lining up to get it. You might want to be thankful for the housing you have, whatever that is. And I know we're all come from different situations, but what we view as low now, even 50 years ago, may have been seen like the nicest. Why don't we be thankful? I mean, it says, and my people shall dwell in the peaceful habitations and sure dwellings in a quiet resting place in Isaiah. I honestly believe that most people, unless you have family drama, probably can fulfill this verse right now to what God is promising his chosen people in the future. Our living situations are so nice that we have, if we look through time from Adam to now, I think we should fall down and give thanks to God. Like, what a beautiful time to be alive. What a beautiful time to start a family. What a beautiful time to just be. Let's be thankful. How about laboring? Jobs. I told you about Hoover, you know, Hoover Dam. How about this? Literally up until the 1950s, America averaged about 60 to 75 hours a week. That was normal. Yeah. If you go back another 100 years, it was 80 to 90. You would get Sunday off, but you were expected 12 to 16 hours a day other than that. Some people were like, that's not possible. Well, in the military, they worked me a minimum of 12 hours a day, 7 days a week for a whole year in Afghanistan. You adapt. But I'll tell you this. Most people don't understand, like, because I know there's a big movement to be like, 40's too much. There's no way. Like, what about me? And hey, if you have the ability to not do that and you have different sounds, I'm not mad at you. You should just be thankful. Because many people throughout the world right now, and Americans have a problem because, you know, H1B1 people come in, they're coming from a society that says 18 a day, you know, hours, 7 days a week, you got it. It's really hard for Americans to compete. And I'm not telling you this, but I'm just saying, if you can sustain yourself on 40 hours, you're doing pretty good. You actually have more time than most people did before. And there are other balances here, but here's the thing. The French Revolution, because you're like, well, we just need a change. Like this whole thing of like this, we just got to change. Hey, during the French Revolution, when they did a liberal revolt, and we're like, we're going to improve things, we dropped this part of the metric system. I don't know why, if we're going to metric, why don't we do the full metric system? It was 10 days. Each day is 10 hours. Each hour is 100 minutes. Each minute is 100 seconds. But here's the thing is, you get 1 day off in that week. So now we've gone from 1 in 7 days because the backwards Christians said 1 in 7. The liberal pro is like, that's wasteful. How would you like to go? Because right now, let's just say you have a normal American. And I know everyone's different here. But the American normal right now is you have 5 days and 2 days off. Which means in a month, you probably have about 8 to 9 days off just built in. The liberal revolution of the French said, how about 3? That didn't work. That's how you had the atheist country go immediately back to fundamental Catholic under Napoleon. And they're like, well, we get more days off, so whatever God you want to put there, great. And I won't go into that. They were worshiping Greek gods for a few years. But what I'm saying is this. If you can work and you can find a job, and let me tell you, you work more or less, that's up to you. But I'm just saying, if it is possible that you even get days off a week beyond just Sundays, or how about just Sundays? Because there are people that work. I work with people, for whatever reason they choose, they just don't take time off ever. That can be hard on you, but hey, that's normal. Even up until the 80s, the Soviet Union, who was for the people, all that, and we need socialism in the country. Understand, they enforced 6 days a week. 48 hours a week was the minimum you were going to work to live in the People's Republic. Because why, like, it's for the people, it's for the state. What are you going to do? Be at home and be a lazy capitalist? And I can go in this, but I'm just saying, the safety standards that we have, let me tell you, if you look at the stats of 100 years ago, how many men died? And if you want to understand the value of men and women, you just have to do this. Men made sure pretty much every household had dishwashers, clothing machines, heating and cooling before we implemented, hey men, if you're in a coal mine, put mask on. Pretty much every woman had all their jobs simplified before we're like, well, I guess a lot of men are dying. I guess we could implement this very simple. I'm just going to tell you, a mask that blocks coal dust is a little bit simpler than the entire modern luxuries we have in the home. But men's lives haven't cared. They haven't mattered. But now we have an entire system that if you go to work and somehow they endanger your life, you're liable to never have to work again. I'm not saying the right and wrong of that, but I'm just saying you live in a time that if you go work and you are forced to do something dangerous, you're probably going to be compensated. Let me tell you this. If you were a dynamite handler or a nitroglycerin handler, you were expected 18 months to live. Hope you enjoy it. And that's how we built the railroads in America. All I'm saying is, can we be thankful about any part of our job and where we live today? I don't know if I read that verse. I forgot to read this part, but in Exodus 20 and verse 9, it says, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. And let me tell you this. Sometimes I think we think of labor and we think of that as just getting paid. I honestly think God also means that's maintaining your house, doing all that. Like, you can work that however you want. But my main point is, we should be thankful for even the jobs that we have, because let me tell you, if you look around the world, and yes, I know not everyone here in war zones are probably not the best way to get a feel of how the world is, but that's how I did most of my traveling. And let me tell you this. The way that they were able to be thankful because they were able to find any work, which means they were able to bring any food home, and yet they still had better attitudes than most Americans. It let me know, hey, a joyful spirit is like a medicine.
Yeah.
All right? Being thankful is like a medicine to your very soul. Because let me tell you this, in Afghanistan specifically, the thought that you can plan 6 months out is literally not in their mind. Everything is inshallah, God will it. Like, God wills it, maybe it will happen. Why? They've been at war for 30 years with everything blown up. They don't have a long-term planning process. But every day they're like, I got to eat something. I even made a little bit of money. And I actually got some water today. Things are looking good. I'm not telling you as an American that that's your attitude, but can we be thankful that that's not even a good... I'm just going to go on a limb. Vast majority of people in here are not being like, I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight. I don't know if I'll ever eat again, and I'm dying of thirst. You have just eliminated the biggest causes for people to be motivated to do anything throughout history. Praise the Lord. We have focuses that most people could not even comprehend. Now, here's the thing is, let's just say things go wrong. I mean, hey, man, I mean, our lifestyle now, it's sedentary. I mean, you might look like this, an office worker. I mean, that's the horrors of a modern life. And let me tell you, man, we just go to the doctors all the time and all this. Well, hey, in 3 John 1, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. How can we be thankful for the health that we have in America? How about the health care that we have? You're like, it's expensive, but we have it. I'm not going to argue what's a better system than that, but let me tell you this. At least the doctors did not tell me, have you, I thought about suicide, which our northern neighbors, that's pretty much their first diagnosis now, because it's so much more effective, it's so cheaper on the state if you just kill yourself. And I'm not trying to be dark. That is a literal thing, if you did not know in Canada. Right. They will offer suicide. But let me tell you this, even that, this is an average operating room about 120 years ago. This was high science. It was done in a university, very normal, and you'd have a lot of men, some of them probably smoking, watching you get cut. Why there's so many men there is because, you know, the sedatives? Many of you get put out to have dentist work here. I didn't know that that was even an option, but, all right, so we get painkillers so we don't feel pain to get our painkillers now. Like, people get gassed, Novocaine, and then shot just so you feel no discomfort. And God bless you. God bless you. What a time to live alive. Do you know why there's so many men around this table? Because what they very likely, after giving you a few shots of whatever they had, it's numbing you, but it's not killing those nerves. They're about to cut into you, hopefully to save your life, but you get to be there with them. I'm not going to ask for a round of hands, but it's on average, most of us through our life are going to go through a surgery or two.
Yep.
How would you like to be there, presently, mentally, listening? And I'm not trying to gross you out, but I want you to be understanding the time we live in is crazily blessed.
Yeah.
Even like, there are things that happen to us right now that would be life-altering and ending. I live in a neighborhood of a lot of retired people, and they, like, to me, they're like beyond, like bionic people. They're like, I don't have hip, like, the hips aren't real, the knees aren't real, the shoulder ain't real. Like, I mean, basically, we're almost cyborgs at this point, and they're always like, I lost my entire hip, which I'm going to tell you, that meant you're going to lay on a bed and slowly die 50 years ago. All the way back to Adam. And now they're like, took me like 2 months to feel better, and now I'm golfing again. And I hope, like, I'm not trying to mock this, like, because let me tell you, if you tell me your hip's going out and you're about to have surgery, and that is a long, painful recovery for you, I am emphasizing with you, my main point is this, can we be thankful that that's even an option?
Yeah.
We live in a time that blessings beyond blessings, what people would have prayed to God, it would have been a miracle that they would have overcome, is so common. People plan out their replacement surgery. Like, at least in my job, they're like, well, 5 years before I retire, I'm going to get this replaced, and 2 years before I go, and then right before I go, I'm going to get my whole hand rebuilt. Like, we live in a time that is beyond anything. And hey, within our lifetime, things have happened. When I was a little kid, if you had your fingers cut off, you no longer have fingers. We now have surgery that if you act fast enough, we can reattach appendages and they will work again. Let me tell you, I'm not anti-science. I know that's a thing thrown at fundamentalist. I want you to be thankful. Like, what a crazy time we live. What an amazing time we live. What a thing we should be thankful that in a time like this, I could bring a family forth. I get to live in this way until I die, unless society completely collapses because the end has come. I mean, if I get a boo-boo, I go to the doctor. And he does more than just kiss and say good luck. Which, 100 years ago, that was almost the level of what we had. We cut it off and hope you don't die when I cut it off, and then hopefully you live a few more years. That was high surgery. And I won't gross you out with any more, but like, if you want to, look into Civil War surgery, because that's where we got a lot of our practices for the next 100 years. Those keep me up at night to think that that was real. But I'm just telling you, let's be thankful. How about life, the length of life? In Proverbs 16:31, it says, the hoary head is a crown of glory. It is to be found in the way of righteousness. And let me tell you this. Hey, I know the way, you know, we're like, oh, people averagely live 30 years. Well, it was more so many people died young. And then, you know, it kind of worked out that. But let me tell you, I think about this because I know I'm above what they said the average for all humanity is. I'm now above the average age. I'd like, by mathematical statistics, I should be dead throughout the whole time since Adam till now. I'm at least thankful I'm not. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, can I be thankful that I pretty much feel that I probably got a few more decades just normally? In most countries, that's not the way you think. You're like, as soon as I can't work, my family needs to get rid of me because it's hard on us. I live in a neighborhood where 80 and 90, they're still living on their own because of our health care, because of the quality of our food, because of water access, because of the housing they live in. Like, we live in a time that we can pretty much get beyond what, you know, they said was the normal time, because, you know, 60 years and maybe a few more if you're lucky. Like, we're expected to work past that now in America because they're like, you guys aren't dying fast enough. You got to work until 65, maybe 67 before your retirement can kick in. You're like, a lot of people are like, well, I'll never get to retire. Like, dude, you're expected to be able to work. Do you know, 100 years ago, if you were 30, 40 years old, still able to work, they're like, man, good job. How'd you survive in the coal mines? We haven't given you a mask yet, but hey, good job. Can we be thankful for the life that we get to live? And here's the thing, this is a general topic, but technology. We have wonders in our pocket that literally all humanity would have said is not real. Like, if you would have tried to go back and explain to someone how a phone, like your smartphone works, they would probably kill you because you're describing witchcraft. And here's the thing is, if you think I'll logically explain to them. I'll explain this to technology. If I take you, leave you in the woods with a hatchet, how long do you send me an email? You're not explaining this, all right? I don't care if it's the most normal thing. Every kid will grow up right now being like my own godchild 15 years ago, literally we're watching a movie, which I got informed was old. I didn't know that yet about myself. But in the movie, they walked over and picked up this piece of plastic off the wall. It was like, hello? And she's like, what are they doing? I said, well, that's a phone. They're like, why would you keep it on the wall? Well, because there's a cord connected to it. They're like, that's stupid. I was like, well, you don't understand. My house are oh, you know how my parents flaunt money? A lot of you don't remember this bling. I'm talking like we were flaunting our money. We had like a 35-foot cord that wind up. Woo! I could walk into the room and sit down with it. Not everybody had that type of luxury. That's high technology when I was a kid.
Yeah, I remember the first cordless phone.
I know, cordless phone was wild. My parents didn't get it because they said cancer is going to come from it. But that's, I can't imagine what they think about cell phones now. But I'm just telling you, high technology is very strange. And if you don't know what this is what an operator, like, people don't even know what an operator is now. But let me explain this. You used to press zero and be like, operator. And it's like, I would like to talk to Jason Graber. Hold on a minute. And basically, they would pass down the line. If it was long distance. So you had to have a connection to the entire city. And there are people lined up that had to remember every single person's location and the entire network to plug a wire in. And that's how you got to talk to people. This is not, you're like, that was before my time. I know, I'm a hoary head at this point, but this was literally so sophisticated that other countries said, America is living in the deep future. This is sci-fi. And I'm going to tell you, that's nothing compared to what we have now.
That's old school AI.
This is actually, that's a good point. He said this is old school AI. Do you know one AI company just folded because actually it wasn't AI? It was like 10,000 Indians. So you type in a question and they're sending it to like 10,000 programmers. And they turn it up. They're like, this is amazing technology. It was just, that's the funniest scam I've ever heard. But anyway, that's funny. But can we not be thankful? How about entertainment? In Proverbs 15:13, it says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but the sorrow of the heart is the spirit broken. Hey, God wants you to have some good time. Hey, times can be hard. Work is hard. Life can get us down. But you know you should refresh yourself every now and then. And I don't know how you entertain yourself. And if you like this, that's fine. It is not a sin what I'm about to show you. But I'm just using an example. You know, 200 years ago, you know what entertainment would be? How about we take wood? We're gonna carve shoes out of it that are uncomfortable, and we're gonna try to dance in the most uncomfortable dumb shoes because it's silly. And hey, that's high entertainment. And I'm not. There's nothing wrong with this. You go clog it all you want, but I'm just saying. Do you have more options now? I'm just saying. I already talked about the Wonder Machine that's in your pocket. Can we be thankful for what you... Let me tell you this. Do you know some people would spend months at a time saving up enough money so they could go hear an orchestra? How many of you listen to music today outside of the singing we did for you or you participated in? But I'm going to tell you this. Listening to music was a high luxury that you did at fest. This is why, and I believe music was probably better because every household had someone to play music because somebody had to do something because the nights are long and dark. People played music and music was a great thing, but you can hear the highest quality audio of recording that is better than the human ear can receive of any type of music, genre, and time or storytelling directly to, you know, your to headphones or whatever you listen to, or you can blare it on your Beats blasting down the road, thumping us all out of the lane. But this is something that was not even possible within living memory. Because I'm going to tell you this, you know, the eldest that are still alive might remember vinyls. They were not the highest quality speakers. There's a lot of static. And now if you had that, you would call YouTube and be like, I want my $5 a month back. How dare you give me such bad stuff? And here's the thing is, I'm not for or against. You do whatever you want for entertainment. All I'm saying is you should be very, very thankful of all the things. As life has given you so much free time, even if you work your full time, even if you work multiple full time jobs, the entertainment that we have while driving, which is probably unsafe, you can engage in stuff that literally 99% of all people through all times could have never experienced. And I just think, be thankful. In Proverbs 31 and verse 7, I have a few more of these. I know they're not all connected, but just stick with me. Proverbs 31, verse 27. She looketh well to the way of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. If I go back to that lady in a tent, do you think she had the bread of idleness? Do you believe she had it very easy? She probably had to work morning to night to maintain the household. You're like, but it's a tent. She's got to feed, clothe, clean all those clothes, keep the house as clean as you could be, feed, go through. Endless amount of labor. Endless amount of that. And you know where people were thankful? This is just about 100 years ago. Let me read you an advertisement here. Okay. This is a washing machine when they like first came, like high technology. We're living in the future. This is like the Jetsons. This is Happy Days washing machine. It saves time, labor, nerves, clothes, strength, and transforms those blue Mondays, which I assume is when they usually did laundry after Sunday, into a bright, happy day. Happy day washing machines. And look, she's happy. Now, if you can't tell what's going on here, it's a barrel. And she's got a rod. And she's going to sit there and pump it herself. Pumping. How long is your, like, I always set it on the short because I who got time for that? Like, I'm talking like 30 minutes for the short run. I don't know what a normal run time is, but let's just go short. 30 minutes, you sit in there and you're pumping. And people are like, whew. That sounds awesome. If you love me, you're going to get this for our anniversary. I'll tell you right now. Does that sound awesome to you? You probably live in a blessed time. Oh, yeah. Because this is what, this is like, I mean, can you imagine, like, you're not down there in the river. You're not there with your hands getting wrinkled as that in your water there. You're just scraping. And if someone here could explain to me what a wash, I know a washboard. You take the clothes and you rub it against that weird metal thing. If anyone could explain to me how the heck that works, but that's beyond me. That's black magic too, I guess. I don't understand a lot. But here's the thing is, this is essentially exactly what you have at home, except metal operated. It has a little thing that turns it around, but you're cranking it. And she's happy. It's literally called Happy Days. They knew women wanted this. Why? This was such a gift to them. It saved them labor. Their arms aren't soaked in lye. And just so you know, that's what we did. It would stain your skin. Like, and this is how they washed. They'd spend all day in their hands in a bucket of water. Let me tell you this. We always have that picture like it's a sunny day. They're washing clothes. It's drying out in the sun. And I mean, even Downy commercials like, oh, it's so sometime fresh. You live in the Northwest. You know half the year it ain't outside, right? You're cooking here, and you got some boiling water clothes of filth here, and you're scrubbing it inside your house. It's going to be really damp. And then you're hanging the clothes near the fireplace, the only part of warmth. And I'm not saying, like, understand, that's most of humanity back to Adam. Most of you'd be like, ugh, gross, like, send it to a laundromat, you know. All I'm saying is, can we be thankful? I mean, even ladies. I know I've talked about laboring men and all this. Like, understand, dishwashers, laundry machines, I mean, feet soaking devices that vibrate. I mean, women got a whole bunch of stuff right now. I mean, like, it's a good time. And I know this crazy. It's coming from the patriarchal, you know, controlling people that it's a good time to be a lady. It's a good time to be a fundamental Baptist lady. I mean, there are a lot of things given to you, and so what? Hey, God says, hey, and here's the thing is, certain manual laborers take away. Is it still hard to run the house? It absolutely is. It's time fulfilling, and now all of a sudden, homeschooling and all this, there's so many things to do. But a lot of the manual labor and the hard things have been taken down. And we could go on and on and on. In Proverbs 1, verse 5, it says, a wise man hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Let me tell you this. There has never been a time if you want to be smart. And you're like, well, public school. let me tell you, public school doesn't control learning. It certifies. The whole job of college is I've been certified, I learned this. But I'll tell you this, if you just have an interest and want to learn, pretty much education of any specialty, from literally how to paint a, you know, furniture to literally a high-level mathematical orbital science, free on YouTube. If you want every single, if you want every book that literally Einstein grew up on, it's free PDF online. You can read whatever great masterpiece, educational piece you can be taught. We now, I guess, can take Apple iPods, put that in our ear, and we'll instantly learn every other language. Or we can talk to everyone. What a time to be alive. When people say, in a time like this, you want to bring a child in? What other time would I want to bring a child into this world? What other time would be better to be here, to be now, to have hope for the future, and to raise the next generation? How about the Bible? 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13, it says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine." You know, in America, since our foundation, pretty much every household has had a Bible. We used to have traveling Bible salesmen, but now, I mean, whether on your phone, in paper, it's given to you free, it'll be shipped to you, it'll be put into any translation that you want, it can be given to you and you can have it. And understand, in the last few hundred years, that's been fairly normal. It's even more prevalent now. And you can have it read to you. You're like, oh, I don't like that voice. Choose one of the other 900 different readings of the Bible that you want, even in the King James Bible, directly to your ear at the speed that you want. Let's speed that up. 1.25, thank you very much. And you're like, ooh, man, we're in Ezekiel. Let's put that to 0.5 because I cannot keep up, all right? What is going on here? And you can have it read to you. Outside of the high servants of a lady sitting there having her servant read her the Bible, how would that ever be possible? Most of us could finish the Bible in like a month just in our commute. We live in a time that literally even the Word of God is literally handed to us in any possible way. And isn't it sad that most Christians could look you in the face and be like, I hope someday to finish it. Dude, you finished 5 seasons of Walking Dead. Last week. And I'm sorry, like that's I'm sure an ungodly show. I've never seen it, but at work people talk about these things. Take whatever show you want. Let me tell you, the Bible is not as long as the novels Game of Thrones or, you know, whatever you want to put in there. It's actually shorter than most people's entertainment they do on a normal weekly day. And we're like, well, in 1 year, if you spend 15 minutes, yeah, most, like, I'm just going to say, the average, I believe, is 22 hours of TV a week. Do you know how much Bible you get done? And I'm not telling anyone to do this, because that would be hypocritical of me. I don't spend that much time, unless, you know, maybe when I was doing 3 sermons a week, but that's a whole different thing. But I'll tell you this. If anyone tells me in the modern life they could not get through the Bible, I'm going to be like, you just don't care.
Right. Yeah.
That's actually the only excuse, because I'm going to tell you this. Even if you were completely illiterate, you could finish your Bible probably faster. Because I can listen a lot faster than I can read. And I read a lot, but I'll tell you, I can take in audible information faster than I can read. Yeah. So what a time to be alive. There is literally not an excuse. You can be blind and have the Bible read to you at ease at any time on literally a government-provided phone if you can't even afford the phone. It can literally be handed to you. How about the gospel? In Mark 16, verse 16, it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." What a time to be alive. Can you imagine traveling in times before? People would have to literally walk there. Maybe they're lucky to have a horse to drag you in the open weather. Most of you are going to get in a car and travel more than most people did in a year, probably, to commute to this church. Some of you. We travel all the time in comfort, you know, environmentally controlled with, you know, whatever music we want listening to us, probably with a heated seat, because by gosh, I don't want my backside to be cold while I'm driving. And it's hard to go talk to people. We should travel all the world. And like I said, we can turn online and literally have AI take my broken English and translate it into Mandarin. hopefully well, but I'm just saying, the opportunities to actually go out and reach people that are not able to communicate with you before literally a year ago. Like, you might be able to use AI to translate electronically, but before that, you had to have someone who was an expertise in that tongue. It was literally a great miracle in the Bible that people could communicate in multiple tongues at once. And now we are literally using AI, and I guess you can do it immediately. I have yet to try it, but do not tell me the opportunity to give the gospel is going down. It is going up. What a time to be alive. What a time to try to start a soul-winning movement, because let me tell you this. How many people are coming to America that are from all around the world? Let me tell you, you don't even have to travel now to reach the world. How about we reach them right next to our houses and then send them back home and get the gospel that way? What a time to be alive. What a time to be a fundamental Christian. What a time to try to change the world. Better, easier right now than it has ever been. So don't tell me, what about, you know, how could you in the time like this? This is the time to be alive. This is where we want to be. In Proverbs 17:22, I've read it many times. A merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dryeth the bones. Take anything I've said or come up with your own and actually think of the blessings that you have. The blessings that you have. Even things that you've never been thankful for. Can you stop and go, could my great-grandmother have been thankful for this? It probably would have been better than anything she could have ever hoped for. Could I be thankful for what my kids might have? Because let me tell you this, the way we're going, things are going to be vastly changed and probably better. Many aspects will be better. Well, I think morals are going down. Great, Christian, get out there and fix it. Because society, infrastructure, travel, communication is all improving with our medical things coming out with miracles every year to keep us here on this planet. Can't we go out and change the world? I'm going to tell you this. When they say, what time is it like now? No other time would have been better. I wish to, you know, I thank God that I'm bringing a child in at a time like now to move forward where we are right now. Because I think the blessings and hopes that they have in the future may be better than the opportunities that we've ever seen in our life. And I hope with that, that you can see what a blessed time that we're in. Have the medicine of happy thoughts in your head every now and then. Thank God. Sit down and be thankful regularly with God for the things that you have in your life. Amen. And with that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much today. Thank you so much for allowing me to preach this. I hope other people be edified in the wonders and blessings that we have. Lord, we can be pulled down by the news and things and the concerns of our life, which are real and they affect us. But Lord, sometimes we just need to be thankful for things we don't even have to worry about anymore and things that are a blessing beyond blessing, that even people in the rest of the world cannot even comprehend that there are people like us living like the way we do. In all things, give thanks to Jesus. Amen. Amen.
All right, so we're taking hymnals. We're going to turn to page number 66.
It's page number 66 at Calvary. It's page number 66. All right, we'll sing it out on the first. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary.
Mercy was great
and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurn, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burning soul found liberty at Calvary. Now give to Jesus everything. Now I gladly owe him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
All right, excellent singing, everybody. Brother Ryan, would you please close us in a word of prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for our visitors that came today and everybody here that could make it. Pray, God, that you'll help us to be thankful for, even though the times are rough out there, I pray, God, that you'll help us have joy and thankfulness in our heart for the things that we do have. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.